I'm going to talk about the Parsha Bo, which reminds me, we know that Parsha Bo has the last three makot because Bo has Gematria Bet Aleph 3.
Oh.
If you know that three makot are in there.
Okay.
And the era starts with Vav Aleph, which is 7. So I don't know. There's 7 makot in that one. But there's last three makot are in this week's Parsha. And Rashi asks an odd question, Makat Choshech. Okay, this is Choshech, darkness. Vemar Shem Moshe, Neteyar Chal HaShemayim, Yichoshech HaRish HaTrayim, Vayamish Choshech. And Hashem tells Moshe, spread your hand on over the heavens, and there will be darkness in Egypt, Vayamish Choshech, and the darkness was palpable. Vayet, nice medical word there. Yet Moshe did all Shemayim, so Moshe spreads his hands onto the heavens, at the heavens, and there's an intense darkness, and there was through 3 days of darkness in Egypt. And one person see the other one, and they didn't even get up, or they didn't leave their place, so for 3 days, and Israel had light in their dwellings. And Rashi asks him, this is says that he choshech b'la. He asks, Lama hebi alayim choshech? Why did Hashem bring darkness on the Egyptians? I'm looking at the answer. But first, realize that it's an odd question because he doesn't ask that about the Elamaka. What kind of question is it that, why does God want to do this? It's not a very Rashi kind of question. Why are we trying to justify the darkness? We don't justify it. In fact, he's actually given this overall look at all the makot, last week's parsha. This is the way the Maskil David Pardo is a commentary on Rashi, 19th century, puts it. Ein kabrat rabbeinu. Now, Rashi's intention here is not lishol akira demil to ask about the choshek itself. Lama hebi makot choshek. Why did Hashem bring in choshek? Why did Hashem bring darkness? The Mishnah says, "Tam makadeh tfei mikugu." So, why would he ask here as opposed to every other makah? We always ask, why this miracle, not that? Barehu zol. And then we see Rashi had already done. Maybe the parsha del el, the previous parsha, the makah arov, that she b'techsise malchut. So this is part of the tactics of a king. If he call makot, v'kulam mevurim b'tanchuma, and it all comes from midrash tanchuma. This is what Rashi says last week's parsha.
What's that word? What's
Which one? Tanchuma?
No, tachsise.
Tachsis is, presumably it's got to be a Latin word there. But Shedra translated as tactics.
It's what?
Tactics, like military tactics.
Oh.
Tachsis. This is what Rashi says. Yesh tam v'davar ba'agada. So there's an agadic reason for all these makot, right? There's 10 makot. But b'chol makot, makot lama zeh v'lama zeh, why this one and this one? B'taksisei milchamot milachim. Because this is part of military tactics. V'alayhem. B'seder malchut k'shetzer al ir. The way of what a country would do when it's besieging another city. B'chil makalko mayinaka. First, it ruins their water supply. And then they make noise. You'll remember attacking New York and Panama with blasting bad rock music at them. Remember the Panama invasion way back when, under Reagan? Try to intend to lead Ram of the Halam to confuse them, to make it fair. Okay, it's right, the Imrakar Karim. That's what the frogs were doing, croaking all the time. They couldn't sleep. Because this is part of the Midrash Tanachuma, and I brought there. So basically, we look at the Tanachuma inside. That this is basically Hashem is saber rattling, making a lot of threats, showing how incredibly powerful Hashem is to avoid going to war. That's the idea that we see this escalation against Paro through all these makot, trying to avoid having to kill them. Nobody dies during the first night, but things get more and more intense. This is the way the Medrashan Chuma brings it. Because Baruch Hu ba al Mitzrayim to taksin, the same taksise word, shel melachim. with King's tactics, where they go to war, the way they really avoid war. First, you close off their water supply. If they don't surrender then, and that they bring noisemakers against them, which is the frogs. That the noise was worse than any destruction. The noise of the frogs. If you can't sleep, you're miserable. But lochas really don't surrender. Yerali chitzim start shooting arrows just randomly into them. Elokim, that was the light. They start getting little bites. And it continues on. They don't surrender. Hishlichalim avnei bullets start up and they start getting artillery. Zebarad, the shock and awe. Lochazru gila ben achsalon harbe. If they still don't surrender, then you start bringing masses of troops just visible to them. That was the locus. Lochazru chavshan beveit asrim. If they don't surrender, then start putting them in prison, capturing them. That's what choshek was when they're stuck in their own homes. And if they don't surrender, then you start killing. That's Hashem Yikal Kol Bachor. That's the way the Midrash Tanchum looks at this sequence there. We're trying to intimidate the Mitzrayim into giving up, into surrendering, into letting Bnei Israel go without having to get to Makom Bachor. So that's Rashi, bringing that Midrash, last week's Parsha. So here, Rashi, though, has asked the question again. Why bring Makat Choshek specifically? And he changes his source. He doesn't bring the Tanchuma's answer. He brings a different answer from Shmuel Rabbah. This is the whole Rashi on this. Choshek HaFela. V'choshek HaFela Shloshet Minim. So first up, it was a Choshek Shel Ethel, an intense darkness. Shel Ra'ush Ish Et Achiv Otan Gimel Yamim. For 3 days, one person did not see the next. And there was a second period of 3 days where Rashi reads this. So darkness that was doubly intense. So that was a separate part that no one got up. They're sitting, they couldn't stand up. They were stuck. More than just, I mean, palpable meaning that they actually couldn't move at all. They were frozen. That's what we quoted. Why are they being darkness? Because there were Rishaim among Bnei Israel in that generation. We didn't want to leave Egypt. You know this about it.
I just read this.
And they died. Bnei Israel who didn't want to leave died during the 3 days of darkness. And so the Egyptians wouldn't see what was going on. They would say, "Apen lukim kimono," they're also being struck by the way we are. The part of the place is this has a difference between the Mitzrayim and Bnei Israel. And the other thing that happened, Shechaf Shu Bnei Israel, but with Klehan. The Bnei Israel, since the Bnei Israel had light, the Bnei Israel could go and see all of the stuff that belonged to the Egyptians. Yatsu. And so when they left, you show them my hands, they would ask, can I have your silver and gold? You show them, and we don't have anything. No, I saw it already. You have this stuff inside your china cabinet. That's where it is. And that's Shmuel Rabbah. Okay, different midrash than the one he brought last parsha. Different reason for Chocha.
Wait, so the idea is the Israelites could see in the same places that the Egyptians couldn't see?
Right, that's where the Medrash Agada sees it, that the darkness was specifically for the Egyptians. Jews could see just fine.
Even in those places? But it says B'mosh Votehem. It says B'mosh Votehem, no?
It does, right. So Pshat is it simply in their houses, right. The Agadah is reading it differently, is that Israel could see even in their homes. Again, we're going to take this seriously, but not necessarily literally.
Yeah.
Both the dead parts and the going into the Egyptian homes parts.
The place I saw that midrash about the Jews who didn't want to leave dying during Choshech was on the Pasuk Sheyatzu Chamushim.
Chamushim, yes. So Rashi brings that there as well.
Yeah. Yeah.
That one fifth, yeah. That there were, right. That there were only one fifth left, right.
Yeah. And he says they died during Choshech.
Choshech, right. So this is kind of the idea of what was Choshech all about. Yeah. We'll have to look at that. So basically, Rashi sees that the pasuk up over here says Choshech Yimim twice. Right, and then and says there are three day periods. Okay, this is the Gerarius Marel on Rashi. Everyone comments on Rashi. Because there were the pasuk says there was darkness for 3 days twice. So clearly there are two different kinds of darkness here for two different 3 day periods. Why do that? And Matar, so his answer is, it wasn't an even period of the plague. There was 3 days of literal darkness. 3 days of being paralyzed and frozen. Now, why two separate periods? That's why he wants to bring the Yagarta with two different reasons for the Choshech. There were two different Choshechs there. Itam sheyamutu poshe Yisrael begimi yamim afela, that from the idea that the Jews who died during the darkness, died b'choshech shlo yiru, that was the darkness that the Egyptians couldn't see them. Shlo yiru b'lva mitatam u'kvuratam, that they couldn't see their death and burial. U'peir sheyach b'su Yisrael matzmon nehem, and that when the Israel are searching in their, for all the Egyptians' treasures, but that wouldn't be enough because they would still hear them in there. Because they would still lock their doors even in darkness. And they couldn't have gotten their houses. So this was where the Egyptians actually were frozen. And the Bnei Israel could wander freely through their homes. And neither of these reasons are the Tanchumas. When I'm talking about the Chavsham Bevet Asurim, that's part of the Tachsisei Malchut of, I'm trying to besiege a city here. So I think what's going on. We're going to look back last week. See the difference between Makat Barad last week and Makat Arba, which starts this week. Because in both those cases, Hashem gives the reason for the Makat. Tells Moshe, I'm doing this because of this. Moshe, Hashem a book, save the Paro. By Barad, Moshe warns Paro. Let my people go, that they may serve you. Right? Because now I'm sending all of my plagues, through the climax of my plagues, against you, against your heart. And your servants, so that you should know. This is Makabara, so you should know I got him. I'm alone, the only power in the world. And it's because of this that I've allowed you to survive this long. So I could show you my power. So you will tell my name, my story throughout the land. This is Hashem talking to Paro. And he Bachar Barad, so the Barad's gonna come. And now you need to bring your cattle inside. If you leave it outside, they'll be killed. It's up to you. You have the choice. And ready to Hashem, if you those who feared God, they evacuated their slaves, their cattle into their houses. But shall assembly both at Hashem, and those who didn't care about God's word, left them outside. Barad is addressed to Paro. Arba is completely different. Yom Hashem bo Paro. This be this week's parsha. Go to Paro. Yaniach b'ati libo. Now, Hashem, this is the point where Hashem is saying, I have hardened his heart. Paro no longer has free will. That's why I would read that. But libo. Adav l'man shiti ototai ilibigabo, so that I can do my signs among him. L'man tzaper b'nei b'ncha v'ben b'ncha, so that you, Moshe, you, Bnei Israel, can tell the story to your children. It's no longer Paro's going to tell the story. Now Bnei Israel will tell the story. How I played with Egypt. and all the plagues that I gave them. The attempt in Hashem, and you will know that I am God. Address not the Paro, but Moshe ben Israel. So they tell them, so now they go to Paro and they say, Shlach ami, send my people out, and if not, I will send you the Arbet. Hashem is Chazak Libo, Hashem hardens his heart. So I think Rashi changes the Midrashic approach to the Makot, because the Makot themselves change. The first seven are in the Paro. They're the ones where Paro has the option of saying, okay, no, in Israel, you can go. But from Arba on, from our parsha, which I think this is why the split is here, this is why Hashem is Libo, hardens his heart, removes his free will, where Rambam puts it. Paro and the Egyptians are no longer relevant. Paro is now an NPC. An NPC is a non-player character. You're playing a game. They no longer are characters in the game over here. Bnei Israel are the only ones here, and the rest of the Makot are in order to give Israel the story to tell. I share it to love Mitzrayim. I played with Egypt. Right? So Arba literally is adding insult to injury. That's Achaz Yeter Pleitai Nishar Lachem. The locusts are going to eat whatever the Barad left behind. So then the question is, Rashi's question is, Lama vi Makat Choshech? And what's the point of Choshech then? Arba is, I can harden Paro's heart, and that's it. Why not go straight to Makat Bechorot? We're done. We don't need to sow any more signs. We've done the Makat already. Paro is lost. Go straight to Yitzhak Mitzrayim. What's the point of having Makat Choshech in the middle of all of this? Doesn't fit. This is the way Sabato, who's at the Yeshiva Hester in Maal Adumim, puts it. Verse 10. Makat Choshech haita amura liot hamakah chazakah biyoter. If you were playing, plotting this out, you should have had this ninth makah be the most dramatic one. If you're having these escalating signs and wonders. Hamakah tishit b'tzidrash tishit. The third one of the third sequence, the tzach b'adash b'achav. We were anticipating something huge and powerful. Instead of that, we have darkness. So it's not clear what's so awesome about the dark. Clearly, it's not equivalent to the power of Barad, with all the lightning and the fire and the ice. And the Arba blotting out the sun, the destruction wreaked by Bara and Arba much greater. No one's injured, no one's died in Choshech. It's a little bit discomfort. No one is hurt by Choshech at all. They didn't get up. So Rashi asks, Loma hevi makat choshech? And he gives two answers. And what's common about the two answers, sh'ikar makat hevi b'shvil Yisrael. Because the answer is, they're both, Rashi says that the makat choshech was about Bnei Israel. It's for Bnei Israel to do this. It's nothing to do with Egyptians at all at this point. Look, Hashem was trying. It wasn't a plague for Egypt at all. And he adds, Basis Peir Sheni, that the second one about being able to live in the houses, Ushadata Kelim, Shemufim, the Parakaba, that we'll see later that they asked for the gold and silver from Egypt. That's coming. Let's talk about that. And when you look at this description of Choshech, it has the image of a play. I just had the image of a chorus line. It's free. It's a freeze frame. You're watching the play, then all of a sudden the actors freeze, the lights go down, and some of the actors come out into the spotlight and start talking about their, you can visualize what that would look like, right?
Yeah.
The freeze frame. An actor kind of comes out of the action, starts talking to the audience about what's going on. So that basically the Egyptians are frozen in the dark, and the Bnei Israel are out there walking through the light. the focus on is on B'nai Israel. They're the ones acting, they're the ones doing, they're the ones thinking. Egyptians are in the background now. This is a change. Right? Before this, B'nai Israel didn't do anything. This is the beginning
Star Trek.
Of the
is a good Star Sorry? Trek. It's a good Star Trek Next Generation episode. Where
I did
a lot of the crew are frozen and there are few people uh-huh. who walk around.
Okay, so that's exactly the idea, that now we're focusing on those few, but it's a stagecraft kind of idea. Not uh-huh. magic, but now we're looking at the story, and now B'nai Israel, they have an active role to play. Next parak in this parsha, they're going to actually have to do mitzvot. They're going to have brit, they're going to have damila, they're going to have yichu lachem ishtel abet avot, they're going to take the lamb for their karban, they'll have mitzvot to do. But here there's something a little more that the B'nai have to be in the background and now B'nai Israel have to do something. What's they have to do? So look at the Shemot Rabbah. Rashi, this is Rashi's source.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, not Tachum. This is why is Hashem bring God? Because God doesn't take bribes, and he knows what everyone's thinking. Because there were sinners among Israel, that were supported by the Egyptians. They liked Egypt. They had fame, they had money. They had honor in Egypt. They didn't want to leave. If I wipe them out in public, the Egyptians aren't going to see that everyone's going to watch. We'll not see. There's no distinction between the Jews and the Egyptians. They're all being wiped out. So that was when the Jews died. And they would be buried, and the Egyptians wouldn't know about it. And then the second three that Rashi brings, that the Egyptians couldn't get up for 3 days. And that's because of those 3 days that the Jews found favor in the eyes of the Egyptians, and the Egyptians would give them their things they asked for. Why? Because the Jews could go into the houses of the Egyptians, but ruling behem klei chesed v'klei zahav u'smalot, and they saw all their valuable things. And so then later, I guess probably next month, when they say, "Can I have this and that?" And they would, the Egyptians say, "We don't have anything." Look, we saw them in there. And as soon as they said that, the Egyptians would say, the fact the Jews didn't actually take it when they had the power to do that. They looked, they didn't take. They waited to actually ask. That they see everything in our houses without us knowing. The Egyptians are saying that in the Gadata. And they didn't take anything. Obviously, these Jews are honest. They would give it to them. They would grant it freely, since you're in Rabbis. That's the way Agadah did it. That's the way the Agadah looks at this. So these two things. One is, the Jews didn't want to leave, died. And the second, the Jews looked at what the Egyptians had, decided what they would take but didn't take. What does that mean?
And then here it's lishol, like to borrow. So
I am not reading that because I am not going to say that they're dishonest. I would say mashalim as they asked for. They had clearly had no intention of returning it.
Right. Okay.
So I've talked about that a little bit.
No, later.
Okay. So
that's in the text itself later on about the sha'alu.
Yeah, we're going to look at that explicitly. Right. We have to look at that. I want to do these two things separate. First, I want to look at the mother, that they died. Right? The Jews died during the ones who didn't want to leave died during Makat Chosha. And we talked last time what that means, agadically. Right, we talked about in the context of the maidservants of Bat Paro, that the Narotot Holchot Yad Yar, Rotena Amru Holchot Loshem Mita, that Bat Paro's maidservants died. And the Maral said they didn't mean that they dropped dead. This wasn't an open miracle. This is the Maral understanding that Rashi. V'yosha inyan zu mita al yona. So death here is a spiritual death. Yistalak mehem kochal mumazalam. They lost their power. They lost their faith. The gamri, completely. Zu mita al yona. That's what it means to have a higher kind of death. Not that they literally died. But they became, again, they became irrelevant. Veshugo Michu, so that these maidservants of Paro could not stop her from rescuing Moshe. And that's why it doesn't say it explicitly. If it literally happened, it should have said that. Moshe Parash Lacha Gatub, Haslat Moshe, Rabbeinu Alav Hashem, just like it talked to the rest of the staving of Moshe. This again, this is in last week's parasha, or Shmuel, 2 weeks ago. If that's what happened, they should have said, and they died. But no, this wasn't a miracle. So here too is the same thing. Not that the Egyptians, they don't read it as that the Jews died. The Jews who didn't want to leave, who decided during this period of time that they're not going to leave. They liked it in Egypt. They were may had their money here. There's no reason for them to leave. They died in Mita Elyona. They lost their fate, their future, their power. They became irrelevant to history.
Did they go out?
We assume they did not.
Yeah.
No one was forced. That's the way I would read this. They didn't go out. They stayed there and became lost. That's what Mita means in the eyes of the Maharal. When the Agatha says Mita, the text doesn't say that. Because the text, the Torah loves talking about how many Jews died from all these different plagues and all this. The fact it doesn't say it explicitly, Maral says, is because that's not what happened at the level of Pshat.
It doesn't say it at all. At least with Bat Paro, right. It's something. Halchu.
Right. So the hint there is the Chamushim. That only one, the idea that only one, if you want to read Chamushim as one fifth, that one fifth went out. That's your textual.
But there's no hint that it's choshech, that it's with choshech. Where's the hint to right. Link it? No hint.
Right. So that's what I mean, that choshech here is where it's up in Israel. So here they can decide they're going to leave or not. That's what happens. That's what it means that the ones who decide they're not going to leave,
yeah,
that's a mitzvah or not. The second part is vayashilu. When they decide this is what we're going to take. When we leave Egypt, this is where we take the Egyptians. And here's the pasuk later in the parsha when they're leaving. Bnei Israel assumed by Moshe. Bnei Israel did what Moshe asked. They shalom in Mitzrayim, and they asked the Egyptians to chesed because of habus malot, gold, silver, and garments. And Sforno makes the point that in Makat Bechorah, there are all these people dying, and they're still taking clothing from them. Implies they have the faith it wasn't an infectious disease. Thus, you surely wouldn't take someone's clothes.
Yeah.
If you thought they don't die of smallpox. But
right.
Separate part. But Vashem Natanachena Amane Mitzrayim Vayashilum, and Hashem gave the favor of the people in the eyes of Egypt. And they gave what they asked for, Vayatluat Mitzrayim. What does Vayatluat Mitzrayim means? Usually translated as, and they emptied out Egypt.
Well, isn't when Excel also means like to take advantage of, like when Excel is mine.
That's what I was going to say. It's not so much saved, it's to take advantage of, like you take advantage of a sale or.
Is that the word in Hebrew is when Excel?
Mm-hmm. Yeah. You see, right? Like when Excel is mine.
I'll take advantage. Okay, so that's the standard translation. That's not the way Rabbi Sachs translates it based on Ben Jacob. But I would read it as, I think it fits better to say that they saved Egypt. Meaning that these were meant as reparations. Bnei Israel wouldn't take revenge later in their...
Oh.
The fact they accepted this gold and silver as the payment for the 100 years of slavery were reparations. That saved Egypt. They're not going to take revenge. They didn't hurt the Egyptians when they had the chance to when they were down. This is Ben Jacob, who was a early 20th century, early 20th century commentator, can only translate the phrase that they saved Egypt. This is not referred to the Egyptian fear of death. This is after the last plague. They weren't dying. There was concern with earlier plagues, which they deserved as they had not helped you, as they had not helped the Israelites. Rather, they were saved from the future destructive hate of God in a final vengeance. That's why the reader may ask who they saved them. We talked about this this way back, ages ago, like 2 years ago. This is Rabbi Sachs. When God told Moses to tell the Israelites to take part of gifts in the Egyptians, as if we were saying, yes, the Egyptians enslaved you, but that is about to come to pass. Precisely because they want you to remember the past, it is essential that you do so without hate or desire for revenge. What you are to recall is the pain of being a slave, not the anger you feel toward your slave masters. There must be an act of symbolic closure. This cannot be justice in the fullest sense of the world, of the word. Such justice is a chimera, and desire for it is insatiable and self-destructive. That's revenge. Therefore, the former slave owner must give the former slave a gift. That's halacha later on, hanik tanik. Acknowledging him as the freest human being has contributed, albeit without choice, with welfare. It's not a squaring of accounts. It's rather minimal for restitution of what is today called restorative justice. Again, I would say today it's called reparations. That's the idea of reparations, is that it's over now. Not that it's fully paying back. There's no way to fully pay back, but I am willing to accept this, and it's over. So Makabot Koshech, in that sense, was a preparation for Yetzias Mitzrayim. Before the actual mitzvot, they need to decide that the Bnei Israel decided that they would be saved. Right? They could have become an Egyptian nation if they weren't determined to leave Egypt. That's what means Lo Tate Metu. But the other side of that, they could not become an independent nation unless they were determined to leave Egypt behind. They need to leave the victimhood behind. They could not go out as victims. That's what by the deciding, not saying that they went to the Egyptian houses and literally looked at all their things, but the act of deciding, we will take Klei Chesed and Klei Zahav instead of wreaking our vengeance and trying to kill the Egyptians. We will simply walk away with this, and then the Torah says, Lo Ta'ev Mitzri, don't hate the Egyptians. That's Ben Sumit's shrine. They saved Egypt and they saved themselves. So Makas Choshek, in this sense, was a preparation for Makas Bechor, not the plague, but of Yetzias Mitzrayim. So Bnei Israel decide for themselves, independent of the Egyptians. The Egyptians are all frozen, they're all in the background in the dark. Bnei Israel decide what their future would be. I think that's what it means to be independent, both to be able to leave and to be able to leave the past behind. And that's what Yetzias Mitzrayim had to be. And I wish you a good Shabbos.
So even though like later when they're in the Midbar, they definitely have like a victim or not a victim mindset. Well, I guess kind of, because they keep saying like, oh, well, we were in Mitzrayim and, you know, we had food, and definitely it keeps coming up, but they're not blaming them.
They're not, right. They're certainly not looking for revenge against the Egyptians.
Right.
Right. And it's still a problem. It doesn't fully get there, right? They're still not all the way there. But the ones who were completely, I don't want to leave at all, would stay behind.
So
they would be lost.
Okay, so there, when it says that they died, it was that they were lost as part of like their future as part of Am Yisrael was lost. They were no longer.
Right, and I'm reading the way the Maharal reads it in Shemot, right? Nisalka mehem kochamu mazalam. That's what mita means, agadically.
Okay.
And they stayed.